This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Have you ever been homesick? The first memory I have of being homesick was the first time I spent a night away from home, from my parents. I was about 6 years old, and even though I was staying on my grandparents' farm, 30 miles from my home, which was Thief River Falls, Minnesota, even though I was with familiar people, and even though I wasn't all that far away, I still felt uncomfortable and even a little bit scared. Years later, I remember what it was like leaving home for my first year of college in St. Paul, Minnesota. Even though at that time I was a young man of 18, I have to admit it was difficult adjusting living in a dorm room in a huge city over 300 miles away from home. But of course, that's nothing compared to what other young men my age at that time had faced. I think of young men of 18 and 19 who left their homes and traveled to foreign lands across the ocean during World War I and World War II and the Korean War and the Vietnam War and the Gulf War. And of course, there's the ongoing battles in the Middle East that continue to this day. There are many men and women in our military right now who are very homesick. They're homesick because they will spend Christmas in some foreign place, separated from the home and the family that they love so much. With that understood, we can begin to imagine what it must have been like for the people of Israel when they were exiled in the foreign kingdom of Babylon. Now, during the last two sermons, during these Advent services, my sermons were based on Isaiah chapter 40. And we learned how God had, at that time in history, used the pagan nation of Babylon to discipline His people, Israel. You see, His people had turned away from Him. They had hardened their hearts. They had adopted the lifestyles of the unbelievers around them. And God knew that unless He did something drastic, they would die in unbelief without any hope. And so God eventually sent the pagan nation of Babylon against them. And many were taken from their home and became exiles in the foreign kingdom of Babylon. Now Isaiah, who was writing in the 8th century BC, in Isaiah chapter 40, addresses Israelites who would be living in the future in 6th century BC. And as I said, those future exiles would be far, far from their home. They were far from home because the monstrous reality called Babylon was a horrible nation that had destroyed all their enemies. In 587 BC, the Empire of Babylon was used by God to utterly destroy the city of Jerusalem along with the beautiful Temple of Solomon. As a result of this discipline, God's people lost their place of worship, they lost their homes, they lost their land, they lost everything that was familiar to them. And so later, when they were exiled in Babylon, gathered by the waters of the rivers in Babylon, the exiles begin to wonder, is our God for real? If He is, does He even care about us anymore? Or maybe He hates us. Will we ever have a home again? You see, at that time, Israel had no king, they had no temple, they had no royal city, they had no land, they had no liturgy, they had no sacrifice, they had no hope, they had no future, and therefore they did not sing to God. In Psalm 137, writing about the exiles in Babylon, the psalmist says, how can we sing God's songs while in a foreign land? And so by the waters of the rivers of Babylon, they sat and they wept. They remembered the good old days when they worshipped in the splendor of Solomon's temple, when they worked and shopped in the city of David, when they saw the Mount of Olives from a distance. But now, all that was gone. But what's even worse is that these Israelites in exile were not only far away from home, they were also far away from God, their Father. And by the way, they were not far away from God because God had left them. No, they were far away from God because they had left God. They were the ones who had turned their backs on God. And now, God was using their exile to humble them, to turn their hearts back to Him, to bring them to repentance. Of course, in the midst of this exile, many of them were wondering if God would ever take them back. Many of them were wondering if they would ever have a home again. As we think about their experience, we realize this is a problem that we sinners face as well. You see, according to the Bible, life in this sinful world is like being exiled in Babylon. This sinful world of sin and pain and suffering, this is not our real home. You see, in the beginning, God intended Adam and Eve and all of us to live with Him in paradise forever. But all that was lost when Adam and Eve turned their backs on God. And of course, the Bible teaches we have inherited their sinful nature. Therefore, we also turn our backs on God when we sin by thought, word, and deed. Because of our many sins, we are all now exiled in a Babylon of our own making. We live in a fallen world, which is not our real home. So is there any hope for us? Does God even care? Or worse yet, does God maybe hate us? Will we ever have a home where we can dwell in safety and peace forever? Or are we doomed to live in this world where sin and tragedy and pain and suffering are the norm, and in the end, we have to face death? Do we have any hope? That's what the people in Babylon were asking many, many years ago. And that's a question we all ask as we live in this world that could be Babylon for us. Well, in tonight's reading from Isaiah chapter 40, God answers our questions. And He does this by giving us, first of all, some bad news, but He only does that so we can hear and appreciate the good news. First of all, the bad news, as Isaiah says, is that all of us are like grass and flowers. How so? Well, grass and flowers sprout up for a short time, but they eventually wither away and die. I think you can all relate to that. Here I am, almost 50, and I wonder where all the years went. I remember talking to my father not long before his death. He was 77. And I remember him saying to me one time, you know, it seems just like yesterday I was a young man. Where did all the years go? Of course, it's not just old people who die. We heard in the paper recently of a man in his 40s who fell through the ice and died. Another young man, only 20. Not that long ago in this church, I had to have a funeral for a 3-year-old boy. As Isaiah says, grass withers, flowers fade. Simply put, we all must die. and we can't save ourselves from that fate. And so if left to ourselves, we would be doomed to dwell in exile forever with only death to look forward to. That's the bad news. But then Isaiah gives us the good news. He says, the word of our Lord stands forever. And as we heard in our reading from Peter, this is the word that has been preached to you. You see, God speaks His word to us who are in exile because of our sin. And His word to us is Jesus. Jesus is God's Son who came into this exile. He took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus is Emmanuel, a Hebrew word which means God with us. In fact, remember what we sang in the very first stanza of our sermon hymn? Listen again to those words. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. And my friends, these words are not merely referring to those Old Testament believers in Babylon. They're also referring to us believers here and now. We are God's Israel. We mourn in lonely exile in this fallen world. But we know that one day the Son of God will appear. And so we rejoice. We rejoice this Advent season because we know that Emmanuel shall come to us. God's Israel. Dear friends in Christ, you can rejoice. You can rejoice even while you live in this sinful world, exiled from your true home. My friends, Jesus was born into this world the first time to save us from our sins. Our sins that created this exile in the first place. That means we can come to Jesus with our sins and know that we are forgiven because of His sacrifice for us on the cross. That's right, Jesus was exiled from God Himself in our place so that we might come home again. That's why Jesus came the first time. But this same Jesus will come again a second time to take us to our real home. And that's why we sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. This was the hope for God's people who were exiled in Babylon. You see, just when things seemed hopeless, and just when Israel's history seemed closed and controlled by the Babylonian Empire, to the shock and surprise of everyone, the Lord kept His promise. You see, what you need to remember is that when Babylon took Israel into exile, God promised them that they would only be in exile for 70 years. Now, of course, to God, 70 years is nothing. But for us, well, 70 years is a long time. And so after 70 years in Babylon, God's people, most of them, forgot about God's promise. They thought they were there forever and that they had lost all hope. But my friends, God never forgets His promises. After 70 years, God worked a miracle, and He brought His people back to Jerusalem. And by the mercy of God, they started to rebuild. Now, once they came back, they rejoiced. They were ecstatic. But then God reminded them that even though they were back home, even though they were rebuilding Jerusalem, even though they were rebuilding the temple, they still were not in their real home. God reminded them that even though He gives us some beautiful places to live in this world is still not our real home. No matter how wonderful we have it here, and let's face it, in America we have it pretty darn good. The fact is, no matter how wonderful we are in this world, we're still in exile. This is still not our real home. We're waiting for our real home. And our real home will come one day. You see, just as God kept His promise to send His Son into the world the first time, God will also keep His promise to send His Son into the world a second time. My friends, Jesus left His heavenly home with God the Father the first time when He entered our world as a baby. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He entered our exile and He dealt with our sins when His body was eventually nailed to the cross. Jesus did that for you so that you could be forgiven and have the future hope of an eternal home with Him. And because your sins are now forgiven, because of Jesus, you also have the awesome future hope of an eternal home. You see, even though our exile in this sinful world seems like an eternity, God knows that one day it will end. The Bible says that with God a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Peter wrote that to individuals who were wondering, why is Jesus waiting so long? In fact, we especially 2,000 years later could ask that question. Why is Jesus waiting so long to return? Well, the Bible actually answers that. Peter says the reason Jesus hasn't returned yet is that every day He doesn't return is another day of grace. Another day for someone to hear the good news. Another day for someone to repent and be saved. But one day, we don't know when that will be. One day, though, God will return. And this present world will come to an end. We will all stand before God. But the good news is that those of you who now trust in Jesus, you don't have to fear that day. Because God has already judged you as His forgiven and dearly loved children through faith in Jesus. You don't have to worry about that final day coming because you already know where you stand. You stand with Jesus. You are forgiven. You are holy in God's sight. And you can look forward to Christ's return. On that day when He will raise the dead and usher us into the new creation, a world without sin, pain, or death, our real home, just like it was meant to be in the beginning, walking with God in paradise forever. A world without sin, pain, or death. My friends, all who live and die trusting in Jesus can look forward to living in that eternal home. We can look forward one day living forever in an earthly paradise, basking in God's love forever. And the reason we can be sure about this is that we have God's word on it. Remember, the word of our God stands forever. And this is the word that has been preached to you. God's word promised that He would send His Son to be born of a virgin, and that word came true. God's word also promises that He will send His Son a second time to bring you into your true home, the new creation. You have God's word on it. The word of our God stands forever. And so we sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.